From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues his second message in an intensive study of the book of Romans. In this epistle, the Apostle Paul explains the meaning of the gospel of Christ in all of its fullness. Paul defined the gospel of Jesus Christ as the gospel of God. As Dr. Cairns will show, this gospel was not a product of man, but was given directly by God. God is the substance and the supreme end of it. Any message that differs from this is not the gospel. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will bring the next portion of a message entitled, The One and Only Apostolic Gospel. First, we invite your attention to this brief devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Condition of Blessing. The text is Malachi 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Many read and plead this promise without noticing the condition upon which the blessing is promised. We cannot expect heaven to be opened or blessing poured out unless we pay our dues unto the Lord our God and to His cause. There would be no lack of funds for holy purposes if all professing Christians paid their fair share. Many are poor because they rob God. Many churches also miss the visitations of the Spirit because they starve their ministers. If there is no temporal meat for God's servants, we need not wonder if their ministry has but little food in it for our souls. When missions pine for means, and the work of the Lord is hindered by an empty treasury, how can we look for a large amount of soul prosperity? Come, come, what have I given of late? Have I been mean to my God? Have I stinted my Savior? This will never do. Let me give my Lord Jesus His tithe by helping the poor and aiding His work, and then I shall prove His power to bless me on a large scale.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield in your body and soul.
Do His sweet will to be free from all ill.
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
It's interesting to me that the New Testament notes a threefold separation of Paul by divine grace. God separated him from his mother's womb. God's Son separated him as a preacher unto the gospel the day he saved him. And the Holy Spirit confirmed this to the church in Antioch. We read in Acts 13 verse 2, he said, "Separate unto me Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them." So Paul testifies, it is this authority that I am claiming. It's this authority of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that constituted me an apostle of Jesus Christ. And when he called me and made me an apostle of Jesus Christ and commissioned me to take his word to the world, he gave me no other message to preach than this message of a free justification by the righteous merits of Jesus Christ. He separated me unto the gospel. And not only, Paul would say, did he separate me from the mass of lost humanity? He did that. But he also separated me from all that I once prized as a Pharisee. And he shut me up to this message of the gospel of God. So much so indeed was this Paul's testimony, that twice in this epistle, chapter 2 verse 16, and then in 16 verse 25, he calls this gospel of God my gospel. But, says Paul, I am a called apostle. I have this gospel by the revelation of Jesus Christ. That means that my gospel is not a peculiarly Pauline gospel. You see, Christ didn't give his disciples or his apostles different gospels. What Paul means here is this. His is the gospel of one who's called to be an apostle, and therefore it is the message of all the apostles. What he's emphasizing is, it's an apostolic message. So when you look at this first verse and see what Paul is saying, the message is that this glorious and powerful gospel of justification on the merits of Christ's righteousness received by faith alone is the one and only divine, authentic, and apostolic gospel. That's why when I give you the outline booklet under the salutation, verse 1, the first point Paul makes about his theme, this is the gospel of God, the one and only divine, authentic, apostolic gospel. Now let me just take a moment or two to explore what that means. I don't think you do yourself any favors by jumping over the first parts, the foundational parts of an epistle, too quickly. So let's think of what that means. Some very simple but very theologically very far-reaching truths. Number one, the New Testament teaches only one gospel. Now that sounds like a truism. I mean, who would doubt it? The fact remains that it's a truth that has come under attack from both wings. There are many liberals who attack it, and there are many conservatives who utterly disagree with it. Many liberals still reflect a school of ideas that goes way back quite a considerable time in historical theology, and it's the Tubingen school. And they construct their view of New Testament and post-apostolic history on the basis of an imagined controversy, a division between Paul and Peter. I don't want to go into the details of their theory, but they would even go so far as to be able to tell you what is canonical scripture and what is not canonical scripture, according to whether they feel they are able to read this division into it. They will tell you that it wasn't just a difference of emphasis, wasn't just that Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles and Peter was the apostle to the Jews. They will tell you that really there was a fundamental disagreement between Paul and Peter in their view of the gospel. What constituted the gospel? And the whole idea behind it is that this emphasis of Paul on justification belonged to him, and it really was just one division of the church, but that it was not the... Then there are others who are far from being liberal in the dispensational school. Many of them are moving from this, thank God, but there are still those who cling to the notion of a number of Gospels. And they distinguish, for example, the content of the Gospel of the Kingdom from the Gospel of the grace of God that is now preached to the world. And they make both of these to be different again from the everlasting Gospel, which, as far as I can read in dispensational literature, is neither everlasting nor a Gospel. Doesn't have within it one word of gospel light or hope. Any writer I've read talking about it tells you that it is merely a declaration that God is great and He is the Creator and He is to be feared and He is to be obeyed. Period. That's the gospel. God help us if that were the gospel. Where's the gospel in that? For a poor, vile, fallen, guilty, hell-deserving sinner. Where's the light in that? Where's the hope in that? Where's the redemption in that? It's not there. But we are told the gospel of the kingdom is different from the gospel of the grace of God, which is different from the everlasting gospel. Now, these different designations of the gospel are important, and they emphasize each one of them a peculiar aspect of the gospel, but it is the one gospel with its various aspects. Remember what I said at the beginning? You cannot define the gospel. You cannot circumscribe the gospel within any form of human language or words. It is as infinite in its wisdom and power and glory as the God who gave it. So these are aspects of the one gospel. But Paul lays it all to rest. Speaking to the elders at Ephesus, according to Acts 20, verse 24, he describes his ministry as being one to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. He said, I preached the gospel of the grace of God. What was I preaching? I was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. They are one and the same gospel. There is only one gospel in the New Testament. Second, this gospel is God's gospel. It's not man's gospel. It's not Paul's gospel. He calls it mine simply because it had taken possession of his soul, but not his because he spawned it. It is God's gospel. God is the source of this gospel. This gospel is not the product of theological evolution. This gospel is not the product of human discovery. This gospel is the pinnacle of a progressive revelation of God's saving truth. It's not a theory of some school of philosophy. It is the truth of a divinely conceived and divinely executed plan. God is the source of this gospel. Not only so, but God is the substance of this gospel. The gospel is not a statement about man's thinking about God. And let me be very specific about this. The gospel is not a statement of man's duty to God. Understand that. I get a little worried about some of the emphases that come out from good men who are led away. You know all this controversy going on at the moment about posting the Ten Commandments in schools. Now, I'd be very happy to have the Ten Commandments up in every classroom. But I'd be even happier if you could put the Ten Commandments up and then put the Gospel of Jesus Christ right beside it. I get a little worried when I hear well-meaning preachers say, if only we had the Ten Commandments up there, and as if this were going to answer every problem, and these kids would see the Ten Commandments, and they would start obeying them. Don't you believe it? The Bible says the very opposite. Paul said, when I came to see the commandment, said, thou shalt not, it had the effect of stirring me up to go and do the very thing that it told me not to do. Such is the depravity of human heart. People do not get saved by the Ten Commandments. Now, I believe, as many of you remember, I preached a fairly lengthy series of messages on the law and the commandments. I believe in the Ten Commandments, and I believe in their constant and abiding validity to this day as a rule, a standard of life for the people of God. Believe that. But there's no saving effect or content in the Ten Commandments. None whatsoever. How often have you heard this statement? I heard it on radio. And I'm not being particularly critical of any individual, for I don't know who said it, and I don't know what program I heard. In fact, to be quite honest, when I'm driving along in the car, if I hear something on radio, I'm half out of it. It's just noise. But I did pick this up. The message was very simple. You know, there are rules to live by. The rules for everything. I mean, you buy a computer, you get a book of rules. It would help me if I would open them now and again. My wife tells me, quoting that Shakespearean line, when all else fails, read the rules. I don't usually do that. But whatever you buy, there's a book of instructions. And I heard the preacher say, that's what the Bible is. It's a book of instructions. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. It wasn't a word of gospel content. This is going out to I don't know how many thousands of people. This is God's book of instructions. You follow the instructions and you'll get to heaven. That is heresy. And it wasn't coming from a heretic. But that's heresy. That's not the gospel. The gospel is not in its substance a statement of human duty. It's God's gospel. It's a statement about God. It's a statement of God's purpose, of God's action, of God's provision for guilty sinners in the Lord Jesus Christ, without any merit whatsoever on their part. A minute ago I said something and I disagreed with in a dispensational notion of different gospels. Glad to be able to quote the father of the dispensational school, John Nelson Darby. J.N. Darby, in his synopsis of the books of the Bible, is speaking about the gospel of God, and he says something that I was delighted to read. He says he calls it the gospel to which he was set apart, the gospel or the glad tidings of God. The Holy Ghost presents it in its source. It is not, says Darby, it is not that which man ought to be for God, nor yet the means by which man can approach him on his throne. It is the thoughts of God and his acts, we may add, toward man. His thoughts and goodness, the revelation of him in Christ his Son. He approaches man according to that which he is and that which he wills in grace. God comes to him. It is the gospel of God. This is the true aspect The gospel is never rightly understood until it is to us the gospel of God, the activity and revelation of His nature and of His will in grace toward man. And I agree with Mr. Darby down the line there. It's a great statement. It is the gospel of God.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.